Good day and welcome to another episode of the International News Desk. Whether you're tuning in on SR Podcasts at Sudo.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mucky King 96.7 Game Time. Welcome to the show. I'm, of course, your host, Sean Robinson. Of course, Mr. Kurt Beckerfield, how are you, my friend?
Good, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good, my boy. Not as good as Benfica. Should we start with him in the Champions League? What a game.
Yeah, that was a scorcher. And, of course, Juventus officially knocked out of the Champions League. Yes. After losing four of their five first matches in the group stage. Wow. Of course, Juventus are run by a man who is still pushing for the European Super League, while his beloved Juventus can't get out the group, which is embarrassing. I think that same thing happened to them last season. And they've had some really embarrassing knockouts out of the Champions League over the last couple of seasons. But yeah, cracking game. Benfica have been incredible this season, domestically and in the Champions League. They've been playing really, really well. They have this holding midfielder named Enzo Fernandez, who many are tipping to be the next best thing in European football. He's a Argentinian international. Should be included in Argentina's World Cup squad. Key for them again last night. But yeah, cracking game. Juventus came in at late with two goals, I think, after the 80th minute, where they scored in quick succession to make it 4-3. Two crackers as well. But Benfica seeing it out. Great game.
I think that handball was a bit... But dodge against Juventus? What do you think? What do you think it was, a handball?
I thought it was dodge too. Just like many calls this season in the Champions League, in the Premier League, it just seems like the standard of refereeing right now isn't great. And VAR hasn't done sort of enough to stop those dodgy calls from happening. But no, I totally agree.
Decent. You would expect Man City to beat Dortmund away, but nevertheless, clean sheets away from home. We'll take that. I didn't see that game. Did you see that, Cody?
I didn't watch that game, but I was paying attention. I saw Erling Haaland was substituted at halftime. Pep Guardiola saying in his post-match press conference that he was carrying a knock. They weren't able to say how serious it was. It doesn't look too serious. Pep said that Haaland was still walking fine and everything after the game. So it was probably just caution. But Man City are through and they have qualified from the group. Mahrez missing his fourth penalty in 2022.
What?
Don't know how he is still left on penalty duty at City. It is mind boggling to me. He's got a bad record. He's got a really bad record. And missed again last night after halftime. If Haaland was on, of course, he would have taken it and probably scored. A 0-0.
Sure. PSG 7, Maccabi Haifa 2. PSG at home with that one. Who's in the goals of that one?
So that was the game I watched.
Yeah.
Messi with a brace, Mbappe with a brace, Neymar scored one, and then there was an own goal. Messi with another man of the match performance this season for PSG.
Incredible.
Two goals, two assists. His first goal, a beautiful outside of the left foot strike, at an angle around the keeper. His second goal.
You mean very Kurt Beckerfield like?
Very, very me.
Yes.
Very me. And his second goal, jinx inside, past an opponent, strike from outside the box. That goal made him the player with the most goals from outside the box in Champions League history. 23, one more than Ronaldo on 22, of course.
Wow.
And Messi has now scored as many goals this season as he did in all of the last. So it's very clear that he's in much better shape. I don't know if you remember, but it was earlier, or I think at the end of last season, he said that COVID hitting him halfway through the previous season really, really did him damage. And it was, he had some like long-term sort of side effects. So it's clear that he's in better shape. And of course, he'll be taking this form into the World Cup, which is only good for Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, how young is he now? He's what, 35, 36?
35. Yeah. But I mean, the form he's showing this season, Sean, it looks like, you know, every version of Messi at 35, he always seems better than the last version of himself. Yeah. So I know that he's obviously slower, and he doesn't have that sort of explosive pace, that acceleration that he once had. But he just seems so much smarter, and it seems like he knows exactly when to use 90% or 100% of his energy. Mm-hmm. Whereas previously, when he was like 2012, he was just, you know, go, go, go. And that would obviously have its impact. But now it seems like he's got so much more time on the ball than his opponents and then more than his teammates. He's just a genius. So watching him play last night at that level again was just incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing. We briefly chatted about Leipzig. So RB Leipzig 3, Real Madrid 2. Was it all that? Were Leipzig all over Real Madrid? I see that Madrid did score in the 95th minute. So that was 3-1 up with, the final whistle to go. How was that game, Cody?
Yeah, so that was Real Madrid's first loss of the season.
Wow.
And in that first match between them, Leipzig in the first half were by far the better side and had great chances, but ended up losing 2-0. Leipzig were brilliant last night, created a lot of chances. And this time managed to find the net. So, yeah, Carlo Ancelotti's first loss of the season. Hmm. They won't be too disappointed. They've all but qualified from the group already themselves.
Yeah.
They were without Luka Modric and Karim Benzema, which, you know, that's two big losses.
Yeah.
Another cracking game.
Were they rested?
No, Benzema's carrying a knock.
Yeah.
I think Luka Modric is carrying a knock too. Not serious injuries, but they were missing for the game and it showed in the scoreline.
Yeah, for sure. Great results away from home for Chelsea and Milan 4-0 against Zagreb. Did you get any of that one?
I didn't watch. I think I watched a bit of the Chelsea game, actually.
Yeah.
I think the big takeaway there is that Potter has really been impressive since Graham Potter, since coming in. That was his 9th game in charge of Chelsea and he's yet to lose.
Wow.
He beat Milan in both ties of the group stage. And then this 2-1 away win now, securing qualification from the group. So it's been an impressive start.
Yeah, I agree. And let's move on to a player who we've been chatting about all week, every week, Cristiano Ronaldo. And I see United have welcomed him back to training this week after Ten Hag chose to give him another chance. Curtis, it's like Days of Our Lives there. What's happening?
Yeah, so we obviously touched on it last week, how Ronaldo had walked down the tunnel prior to the final whistle in United's win over Spurs in the Premier League. We spoke about it, but later that day, it came out that he actually had refused to come on as a substitute in the game before walking down the tunnel. We don't know exactly why he did that, but I think we could probably assume he thought it was too late in the game and he thought he was being disrespected by Ten Hag, which is a sentiment also being shared by many of his former United teammates. It's one that I don't agree with, but it's out there. And then after that game, Ten Hag had said he'd deal with the situation.
Yes.
And then that following day, it was announced that Ronaldo had been dropped from the squad to take on Chelsea on the weekend. And it was reported that he was fined 2 weeks' wages, and then he was made to train alone. Put out an Instagram post to explain that the situation just got the best of him, the heat of the moment, which is understandable in some ways. This is a player who, throughout his career, has been and has felt invincible. Mm-hmm. So this is really the first time that he isn't the first name on the team sheet, and I think that the reality of him not being United's key player, most important player, is probably difficult to accept. He's returned to first team training, and will be involved in the squad in the Europa League on Thursday. I don't think that the issue is totally resolved. I think that Ronaldo still will believe that he is the best player in the squad. This is Ronaldo we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily see the situation changing all that much. I think, you know, it's being rumored that he could look to leave in January. And I think that United, if they found a replacement in January, they would probably be happy with that too. It's a lot of unwanted, unnecessary sort of drama and attention that Ten Hag, you know, in his first season could do without. So, it will be interesting to see how that one plays out. I see he's linked with Napoli. He's linked with a return to Sporting Lisbon. But yeah, Ronaldo will feel aggrieved that there are other players in that squad ahead of him. But I think it's very clear that United plays, or at least this season, is playing very well without him. And they aren't winning many games when he starts. So I think if you're just looking at the data, Ten Hag's decision is justified.
Yes.
And I just don't see it changing. He also missed preseason, which is a huge factor.
Yeah. And I think big up to Ten Hag because he's handled the situation very well, hasn't he?
Well, exactly. And this is what really, really, really grinds my gears with the former United players who are now sort of going all in on Ten Hag and are criticizing how he's behaved, accusing him of disrespecting Ronaldo. But for the last 10 years, they have all bemoaned the player power at United. Hmm. And now when Ten Hag actually stamps his authority and says, no, no matter who you are, you do not behave like this, they have an issue with it. So there's a lot of contradiction and hypocrisy going on there. And from Roy Keane of all people. I mean, it's been pointed out that Roy Keane as a player would never have accepted this from a teammate. Roy Keane as a coach would never have accepted this from a player. So to defend Ronaldo's actions just seems a little silly and a little wild to me, really. Ferdinand doing the same, Patrice Evra doing the same. I think a lot of them are embarrassing themselves. It's clear that United this season are a better team without Ronaldo. Ronaldo does not offer Ten Hag what he wants from a striker, in terms of pressing and everything that player does off the ball. That performance against Spurs was definitely the best performance that we've seen from United this season. We spoke about that last week. And then a really, really good first half against Chelsea. So I think it's completely justified. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's probably best for Ronaldo and Manchester United if they parted ways as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree. And this is not taking anything away from Ronaldo. He's
no, of course not. Yeah.
If not the greatest, but I do tend to agree with you. It is getting a little bit toxic. Just before we close off, Curtie, anything the neutrals need to be looking out for this coming week or weekend?
I think let's just see how this Ronaldo thing folds out. I think that's probably the biggest talking point right now in world football. Let's see how this goes because he'll probably start on Thursday night in the Europa League, but he'll probably be back on the bench at the weekend when United, I think, play West Ham on Sunday. And I think we just need to pay attention to that because, like I said, I don't see the situation changing a whole lot. But otherwise, Sean, not a whole lot going on. We spoke about it last week briefly, but there will be some World Cup squad announcements or at least preliminary squad announcements coming very soon. But otherwise, I think that's pretty much it.
Curtie, as usual, thank you so much. And that is how we wrap up this episode of the International News Desk. So whether you've been listening on SR Podcasts at Student Today, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mackie King 96.7 Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Robinson, of course, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. Thank you, sir.
Cool, Shawnee. Thanks.